Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth again on WJCV Radio. Now, last week we asked the question, what did Jesus bear on the cross? His Father's wrath for sin? Oh no, my friend. We see that Jesus has bore sin, your sin and my sin, all of humanity's sin on the cross. Indeed, Jesus bore the sinner. Let me say that again. Jesus bore the sinner on the cross. John the Baptist announced Jesus Christ to the world with these words in John 1:29. Now, behold, and that word behold means stop, look, and listen. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But Jesus did not take away sin out of the world. In the Greek, and I feel this is a far more accurate truth to what Jesus really did, in the Greek, behold, stop, look, and listen, the Lamb of God. Now, listen, he who takes upon himself the sin of the world. Oh, my friend, Jesus did not take sin out of the world, because sin is still in the world, isn't it? Yes, it is. And Jesus did not take away the wrath of God, nor did he deliver sinners from God's wrath. Oh, no. Jesus delivered sinners from sin. Let me say that again. While on the cross, Jesus delivered sinners from sin. You know, today in the church, there are so many strange concepts of what Jesus did on the cross because of all of the denominations and churches out there. I mean, after all, to be different, you have to have a different twist to the story that cuts you, that cuts you out of the religious herd. And why? Well, if you believe and teach what others' denominations teaches, you open yourself up to have some of your folks and some money to be picked off. Oh, no. No, to be different and draw new people, you must have a different message about the truth. The plain old truth of the gospel message seems not to work if you want to be different. Sadly, we have all of these differences today in Christendom for the money and for the influence and the control that causes confusion and a misrepresentation of truth within the body of Christ. But just look at the split of ideas when do we receive the Holy Spirit? Is there a second work of grace, as some say? Did we receive the Holy Spirit when we were saved? Some say no. Sadly, it goes on and on. But if you read the Bible and believe what it says, then it will speak for itself. Let me say that again. If you read the Bible and believe what it says, then it speaks for itself. Remember, you can only defend the Word of God, the Bible, as far as you can read it. In other words, you must only use the Bible to defend the Bible. Let me say that again. You must only use the Bible to defend the Bible. And if you cannot find what you are doing or saying in the Bible, well, my friend, best not to be doing and saying what you're doing. The Bible needs no defense. No, it doesn't. All of these commentaries that people preach and teach from, wow, how did God ever get the truth through the ages of the Word of God to His people without all of these commentaries today? Wow. All we have to do, my friend, is read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us to all. Now, when it says all, it means all truths. Here in 1 Peter 2:24, we find the truth on the topic here. Peter writes here in 1 Peter 2:24, whom his own self bare our sins in our body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Jesus bore our sins, your sin and my sin, on the cross. And again, he did not bear our punishment nor God's wrath for sin, as some denominations teach. Wow, that's very, very sadly. You know, during the Easter season, or better said, I like to call it the resurrection season, because that's really what happened. You know, the word Easter is, you know, is used, but it's, you know, the word Easter is only used one time in the Bible, and that's Acts 12:24, and that means Passover. But during this season of teaching of how God turned his back on Jesus while on the cross because God could not look at sin, wow, that's just nothing but heresy, my friend. God looks at sin all day long. That Jesus bearing our sin would not cause God to turn his back on his dear, precious son. Oh, no. But still, we hear this lie every year. What Jesus was saying on the cross. Now listen, what Jesus was saying on the cross was, and you can see this in Matthew 27:46 and Mark 15:34. What Jesus was saying, he is something most amazing to me. In Psalms 22, we read of the Old Testament messianic prophecy of the death of the Lamb of God. And guess what? It starts off this way. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's right. Jesus was reciting the 22nd Psalms while on the cross. Wow. Of his own death. If you want a true understanding and picture of the death and horror of Christ on the cross, read the entire 22nd Psalms, especially verses 11 through 21. But what a travesty, of truth is missed from Psalms 22 because of the foolish teaching that God turned his back on his own begotten son. You know, my friend, if God will turn his back on Jesus, well, then maybe God will turn his back on us. But we know that is not true. Because in his word, he tells us, that he will not. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Have you ever been to the ends of the world, my friend? Well, I will tell you, I've been to the ends of the world many times, and Jesus was right there with me. To believe this, that Jesus would turn his back on us, only reflects your lack of God's plan of, your lack of God's plan of redemption for fallen man, and sadly still could mean that you are still in your sin. You know, we must know what we believe. Let me say that again. We must know what we believe. Knowing about what we believe is not good enough to be saved. Let me say that again. Knowing about what we believe is not good enough to be saved. Knowing about Jesus, even believing in Jesus, is not enough to be saved. We can know of all of the Bible stories in the Gospels. We can know how Jesus opened up blinded eyes and fed 5,000, and another time he fed 4,000. We can know of all of his miracles which were done to get the people to believe. But if we do not come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, if we never come to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, never come to have a personal revelation of who Christ is, how then can we be saved from death and the grave and hell and ultimately the lake of fire by someone that we do not know? Sadly, this is the experience most Christians have of Jesus Christ. They know about him, but they do not know him. They know all of the stories, and they can preach and teach the stories, and they know all of this information, but they never come to know a living Christ that is within them. They never come to personally experience the love and personally experience the power of and glory that Jesus Christ provides. Wow. They know of him, but they have never come to really know him and even the power of his resurrection. Well, and why? Well, that answer is very, is very telling. To know God, it will kill you. Yeah, to know Christ, it will kill you. Wow. Not too many Christians is ready to be decimated, and they're not willing to allow God to deal in their heart with their dealings and judgments of God so that we could come to know him. That is the way we come to know him, as he begins to work in our life and change us from the inside out. My friend, knowing God will kill you graveyard dead, but at the same time, it will raise you together with Him in newness of life. Newness of life comes as we get to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And if we never come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we will never, ever know the truth of the Word of God. Amen. God bless. Well, I hope this is getting through, and looking forward to talking to you guys next. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week, and God is moving in your life with the truth of the Word of God. Amen.